We must be perfect, not halfway. As we come here today, we must know that the human nature likes to give up halfway, because of our age, because of our, or if we have some illnesses, it affects us. So we feel that there are some barriers and we stop. We cannot say according to the circumstances, then we have excuses for ourselves. Human nature, we are inclined to find the easiest way to do. And then, of course, sometimes the easiest option is to give up, especially if there's a sinful nature in us. So God also specifically told us to pursue perfection. So when we talk about perfection, the Bible talks about three different. So of course it's the positional, when God declares us righteous, so it's a, we have been, our sins are atoned. So in the eyes of God, although we are still weak, but because of Christ, we are perfect. That is a positional perfection. But in reality, we have a sinful nature. We still fall into sin. We may not have the a lot of things that we do may not be done out of wisdom. In this life, we will still fall into sin. So we must pursue sanctification, but of course we are not there yet. This, the second form of perfection, So what about Christian living? We have not reached our righteousness. We just try to live righteousness in the way we have. Since Jesus has saved us, and positionally I'm in a righteous position, you have been justified, but doesn't mean you are, or doesn't mean you will not sin ever. And because of that, because since Jesus has paid for the debt of your sin, doesn't mean that you can live a careless life. Or we just look forward to the future when we are raised together again. So the third thing is through discipline, through training, we must experience this perfection. We must walk towards perfection. How do we go into towards this direction? First, let's read Matthew chapter 5, verse 48. This is what Jesus said: "Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." This is what he said on the Sermon of the Mount. After a lot of teachings on the Sermon of the Mount, then after that he said, you shall be perfect. So what does that mean to be perfect? When Jesus asks us to be perfect, who can do this? So as we try to attain perfection, then we realize we cannot do it, then we will rely on Christ. Some people say it's a one day you shall be perfect. It's like a prophetic word that one day you'll be perfect. I think it's not a very complete interpretation. So in a way, we will just keep on waiting. Very clearly, when we want to receive this word, Jesus said, "You shall be perfect." So just as your Father in heaven is perfect, there's a comparison. It's not something we take lightly. So why did I add at the title today? Don't give up halfway. So I want to comfort everyone, also challenge everyone. So we still have two questions you have not answered. So whatever he said, the words will not fall flat. Second thing, the other question we need to answer, after we are born again, then we are definitely standing on the position of righteousness. How can we give up halfway? How can we take the words lightly? We see a standard. There is a standard. Who are we comparing ourselves to? To the Father in heaven. We do not have his divinity. But what Jesus is, we are not comparing with the devil or another person. If you compare yourself with another worse person, then you'll think, "I'm not so bad." So what is God's perfection? When we see this, it is something that we cannot take lightly. How did God talk about his perfection? All the teachings. What tells us what is the perfection of God? We will know that it's not easy. So we cannot be casual about this. We must really strive for perfection. If a person said, "If I'm comparing with God, I'm still okay," this is really a foolish person. This is impossible. When you compare against the standard of God, here, how do we attain this perfection? Can we ever do that? We must ask this question. If you ask this question, can you do that? Theoretically, we should. Let me explain this. This is only theoretical. This perfection, this completeness and perfection, perfect. You have to reflect God's perfection and his excellence. Be holy because I am holy. There are many places that says this. New Testament, Old Testament, there is also this requirement. So what Jesus said, it doesn't just appear in one verse. It's not like this. So there is definitely something God has said that we are able to do. We must consider a few things. In the Christian history, from the Roman Catholic Church, we realize that in the many modern-day believers, we believed when we are sanctified in this, can we be perfect in the course of our sanctification? They realize that, they recognize that there's a sinful nature in man. There are some sins you may commit unknowingly. This is not sin. It's a bit ridiculous. Ignorant, committing sin ignorantly is not a sin. According to, but in God's standard, this does not stand in our thinking, in our hearts. If we truly love God and love His words, even in your ignorance, you will try to see how you can avoid this. So there is something wrong here. So it's totally wrong. How can you be sanctified to a stage? In so many believers, they believe that they can be totally perfect. But why do I say this? From the church history, there are great people of faith, and they also talk about their battles with sin. They have been believers for so long. They also still battle with their sin. And Apostle Paul said such. He things that he doesn't want to do, he keep doing. So even he is struggling with sin. So theoretically, when we are in the real position, in the situation, although we are not perfect, right? In that situation, we are able to do. Although we are not perfect, we cannot be perfect on earth, but in one particular situation, we can be strive for perfection. We have a heart to want to rely on the Lord and pray and overcome that situation. If we don't settle this, the Bible always says, everyone, God has given His promises. So theoretically, we must hold on to it. In a particular situation, we can pursue perfection. If a believer, I will never sin again. If a believer said this, and then he has this prompt, maybe he has received the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and then he's so zealous and fervent in his faith. I cannot sin anymore. Have you encountered such a person? When I think about it, it's not possible. And if you face the situation in an upright manner, the Bible also says, your experience also tells us the same thing. We must pursue perfection. We know that we have sinned. If you through grace you overcome your sin, then you recognize that you are not perfect. And then even when you rely on God, it's not a full reliance. But no one. So. So, but let us not think that we cannot be perfect and we give up doing that. If not, God wouldn't have asked us to be perfect. So we need to reflect God's perfection, not for our own gains, and not because the people are showing you ingratitude and you withhold your pursuit of perfection. What God has demanded of us is, no matter what situation, you pursue this perfection. Although there will be struggles, you continue the struggles. So Apostle Paul in Romans 7, he said that he wants to. We must not give ourselves excuses. And we must not use hurts as our excuse. So from on in Luke chapter 6, verse 36, it says, therefore be merciful just as your Father is also merciful. So how no matter how a person deal with you, you must treat him as a victim. We are all victims. You must regardless of what he has done to you, we must be perfection. So it's not just. Later I'll share more. So if. So, but if you want to, if you feel you are really not up to it, inadequate, do you just rush forward and just ignore everything? You want to commit it to the Lord. You still need to try, need to think about, need to plan, and then speak to God. And no matter what, you need to come out of it. So this spirit of serving and the sense of excellence is most important. God has demanded us to do good works. Our Christian living, there's a lot of places where we need to be challenged. Here, God has also given us His promise that we can do it. Okay, or don't be afraid of stress. So what is this perfection? It's not giving excuses. When I explain, you need to explain it. Do not give halfway. Very precisely know what God has commanded us to do. We have a deeper understanding of what God says. Is God transcendent? But He's incomprehensible. If He's incomprehensible, is it some incomprehensible, does it mean you cannot fully know him, but you can know him? If we do not pursue knowing him, then we have sinned. The problem is with us. You know, we need to rely on God. But if he's an eternal God, he has all the power, he's self-sufficient. We are not. We need to rely on him, we need to rely on others. When we know this, then we must always remember to rely on him. If you know that you have no, so when God reflects on you, you will realize you will rely on God. Christians, he has a duty, he has a duty and responsibility to rely on God. If you do not fully rely on God, then you have weakness, then you will have limitations in your serving. We must recognize this. And then, of course, there's the holiness of God. So God says He's holy. Be holy because God is holy. So we need to set apart. You are different from the rest. So when the COVID restrictions open up, so last time it's only cyber crimes, now there are physical crimes. So we need to know. When we know the true word, when we go towards perfection, we have a lot of freedom, we have a lot more freedom. We must be more careful, especially. If you think that you do not have any strength to deal with certain situation, it is a matter of you not knowing and experiencing him properly. So we must meet God, not roughly experience him. I was reading Job. There are some amazing things. So I just want to share with everyone. Then I also confirmed that my commentary, so that what I read is not wrong. So Job, so they were, the three friends of Job were talking to him. Then there was Elihu, and the whole book of Job, what happened? And the three friends and were talking to him. They cannot convince Job. They have a lot of debates and arguments. Elihu came. This is a younger person. Then after Elihu appeared, then God spoke. So let's read chapter 32, verse 1 to 3. So these three men ceased answering Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. He said, this suffering came upon me. How can I have sinned? Up to a point. How can have you forgotten about your sin? How can you be suffering if you have no sin? Maybe you have sin, hidden sin. you don't even know that you are sinning. So they have this argument. Job was angry. Where is my sin? So let's read this. Verse 2, the wrath of Elihu, the son of Barachel, the Buzite, of the family of Ram, was aroused against Job. His wrath was aroused because he justified himself rather than God. He is self-righteous, and he did not. Verse 3, and against his three friends, his wrath was aroused because they had found no answers and yet had condemned Job. His anger, is it legitimate? He is. Okay. It's not good to remain. But he has this righteous anger because when we cannot answer a person, we have a responsibility. If a non-believer asks you, if a Christian asks you, if you cannot answer, you must also equip yourself. You must find answers. Job's three friends, when they know the Bible, they are not perfect. Although they have arguments and debates, if you don't understand God's word, how can a righteous person go through suffering? Every suffering that you have must be a punishment of sin. When we read at the end of Job, so God is not pleased with how they dealt with Job. When they said this, and then of course Job felt even worse. First, I'm innocent. I didn't sin, but when am I being condemned? Second, you are condemning me in my sin. The law, the legalism, the harms of legalism is also manifested. Actually, so but it also reveals that something not right in Job. Elihu. Elihu also said that, Job, you are also not right. Because God, you have treated God's grace as common things. He forgotten God's grace. Do you know God? Do you know how infinite God is? God is transcendent. He answered Job with that. So when sometimes we suffer because God wants to humble us, God may know that you may sin in the future, so not give you some trials so that you will not fall into sin in the later part, so you will always rely on God. This is his meaning. So do not think that God has when Job tries to defend himself, he keeps saying, so after he insisted that he has not sinned, then it became that God has punished him unjustly. Chapter 41. there was this Leviathan. Cannot it's a big beast. Verse chapter 41 verse 1. Can you it's in Chinese is translated as crocodile. Can you draw out a Leviathan with a hot hook or snare his tongue with a line which you lower? Leviathan. If you continue reading, you actually Leviathan. There will be fire coming out from his nostrils. It's such a powerful beast. They will be prideful. Some people say it represents Satan. There's this evil force. No one is so fierce that he would dare stir him. Who then is able to stand against me? Such a powerful being, only God can. Who can stand against me? Here, God is saying, so he said something more than what Elihu, it is evil. He beholds every high thing. He is the king over all the children of pride. Nobody. So this sin will multiply. He cannot. We cannot take lightly our original sin. We must really cry out to God. We cannot say, oh, this is a small sin, it's okay. Actually, once there's a little bit of wrong, we must pray so that we do not continue in the wrong way. So in things where we are in doubt, we must be careful. So what is it trying to say? How can you compare yourself with God? How can you say God has dealt unfairly with you? Job, how can you be so proud? Do you think you can save yourself? You think God has a problem and give you to this suffering and you want to appeal? Are you trying to say that you can save yourself? I rule the world this way. Isn't this your joy to submit to my rule? Then Job finally say, now then I truly sue you. So when we look at chapter 41, for me, I understood this way. Here we three friends, they did not know God fully. Elihu is not so complete. When God spoke himself, it's perfection. It's very precise and accurate. Elihu did not talk about sin. Here it talks about, and God can deal with it. God can deal, can forgive sin and deal with the sin. He is the ruler, king of the, he reigns over all things. So we need to be very careful about God's word. If we know God's righteousness, you must know, have a complete understanding. When you know God's law and his righteousness, the more you know the law, the more you So if we sometimes if we focus too much on the sin, it actually arouses us to sin and also causes us to have this feeling accusation. But don't stop there. You must continue to know, and you must continue to know what is the law of God. You must be perfect. You must don't stop at a point where you are feeling lousy and stop trying to understand His standard. Do not give up. When you know truly to the end, God, He is the judge. He does. And because of that, so King David, why did David understand this in the Old Testament? He is of course looking forward to Christ. Don't give up halfway. Don't stop. You continue to know actually there's only God. Why did God instituted sacrifices and all these things? If you know the law, and then you know what is the Holy Spirit, you understand Holy Spirit as something flexible, you know, the law is rigid, you will always look at the law in a flexible way because you have not come to a complete. So what did the Bible tell us about the law? What does it say about spirit? How do you live by the spirit? If you live by the spirit, but then because of this freedom, and then you really belittle sin and righteousness. Is that a Holy Spirit? But is the Spirit holy? Is it a Holy Spirit? When you reflect on this, and then you continue to think, don't go to the end, perfection of God's, or to understand God. So what God has, Jesus has asked us to do, let's not give up halfway. If you truly, and then you want to obey God, although it's difficult, then you'll realize you need brethren. You need to be equipped. You need to So sometimes we pray, don't know what to pray. When you persist, you realize that if we are justified by faith, we are by faith through grace, and then we truly understand how it works and truly understand this perfection, we really cannot save ourselves, and we cannot justify our God with justify ourselves with any of our works, because it's through grace. And cannot. God has to come to you. And you realize. Then you realize. I don't really like my brethren. Don't like my church. I don't like fellowship. If you understand this problem, then you pray and ask God, and give me grace, and God, you transform my heart. So we do not want to meet God just halfway. So if you are, it's not just like you are justified by God and then you already know God, and then you give up, lead the casual. Lead a life freely. So if you know this perfection, as this perfection, this is not the real perfection. So this grace must really give you a transforming of your mind. So what is perseverance? What is patience? It's not the... This perseverance, endurance, because you are looking at the eternal glory, so you just wait, you just abide in Him. It's not you rely on your own endurance. Why do you... This grace is power and has fruit. When you have, why do you have struggles? Why do I do something wrong and then I'm being scolded? I've done so much, but I'm still being criticized by others. You realize when you realize there's this battle in your heart. You know that this is in from God, because God wants you to go towards perfection. God will preserve you till there. You will not break down, because you are always looking to God. So if you live by faith, not living by a set of rules and standards, you realize that living by faith is harder, but you will press on more to obedience. So last time, if you look at certain standards or commandments, you know that God will reward those who seek Him. What is living by faith? You know God will surely do, even though it's difficult. God will guarantee you the reward. You will still persist. So the living by faith will cause you to persevere in obedience. So in the New Testament, in the era of grace, all the more we need to submit. So Abraham is the father of faith. So God asked Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. When he goes towards perfection, he really can trust Isaac to God, even though God will resurrect him. He is one who has gone to this perfection and understand what God is doing. So we also must precisely. So what people doubt when they come at the halfway stage? Do not do things halfway. You must understand, because everyone has their challenges and their limitations. For Job has his doubts. If he continues to pursue, he has not sinned, but you cause him to sin when he's defending himself. He has some doubts. All these doubts. It's not like he doesn't have the faith. Of course, doubts may lead to unbelief, but it's not also. Why are people living in this halfway situation? If a person truly loves God and he wants to know God, will he have struggle, will he have doubts, his doubts? How do you put the end to these doubts? It could be a channel for him to know God even more. You cannot just ask him to stop doubting. So we must have this complete understanding, perfect understanding. So why did Jesus have to come on earth? So he can understand all the temptations. So we know that God is a merciful God, has compassion on us. You must know doubts of men. It is really they have a willing heart to obey, but we know that it's not really a sin or unbelief, it's just doubts. You must ask more questions. You must really seek more. So when you, some of the truth that you have shared, so we must teach people to the way that they, to the extent that they can transform their hearts. You must be perfect. Just don't just talk about it. Don't just communicate the truth, but communicate the truth such that in a way it can lead to the transforming of the hearts. Of course, Saint Jesus, he has to be perfect. He has this comes from his grace, but God's holiness is his perfection. So our non-believing family members, or in our own problems, we may have some problems, we may have some doubts, but all these things, to all of us, it's all different. This is called shepherding. When you shepherd, you must teach. You teach only when we teach, then we have some things that we don't understand. Then we think about it, how to explain. So God has wisdom. We must reflect His wisdom. The last point in this, in the daily lives, we must perfect in the ordinary experiences of our lives. First, the third point. So we must equip ourselves thoroughly to know the Bible, to be perfect for every good work. So, Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16-17. So let's read this together. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So how do you be perfect? It's really to know God, know the Bible. So it's actually just to equip yourself in the Word of God. Really know the Bible, the Scripture. What is the benefits? So it's for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction. All this. So when you are perfect, then you can discern. When you have then you need to apply. Then it talks about the. It's just not about knowing and understanding. We need to. You need to apply it. Do not think that it is. We start learning and invest your time, invest your effort into this. Of course, learning the Bible, when we. In olden days, ancient days, not many people are literate. They draw. Of course, in Europe, then they have a lot of paintings to teach the stories in the Bible. In all ways to really use all ways to understand the Bible. So sin is real, evil is real. If you just now read the responsive reading. So we have victory through Christ. The wages of sin is death, but we have victory. Actually, there's a sin. There's a battle. Yes, it's always attacking us. We want to serve well. We want to do well in work. We have a lot of challenges. When we do all this, there's always some force coming against us, condemning us. But So it says in 1 Corinthians, because our work in the Lord is not in vain. So all the more, we need to stand firm, let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Because when you continue to do this, we know that it's not in vain. So when we continue to walk on, you will realize actually all your stress, all your, how you are being reformed in the Lord. So as you confirm all this, let me test and approve. Is it really right to obey God? You must go towards perfection. It's not just passing it. So everything about Bible is not just about around there, just a passable standard. We must go towards perfection. It's not. In our serving, we also do that. Then we will experience the power of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the word that you've given us today. And through the word, give us comfort everyone. And give us challenge help us to remember your promises, Lord, your commandments, in your leading, in your teaching. You have given us many promises in all these areas. Teach us to be very objectively to look at and more holistically look at and to know that you are sovereign in all things. And Lord, you equip us, but not to be discouraged, but in all the teachings of the Lord, we have a more complete understanding and we humble ourselves before you. And we have this courage in the Lord. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.